The World Tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. This is Garner Ted Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow and a quick view of the world today, the age of nuclear power, a quick resume of recent events in the age of the atom, the deeds, the thoughts, and the predictions of nuclear scientists, and they are not too reassuring. Bombs on hand in the world today are equivalent to 100 trillion pounds of TNT, and this is a shocking world where you hear in your up-to-the-moment news reports of U.S. Navy vessels grappling for a wayward hydrogen bomb deep in an undersea canyon in the Mediterranean Ocean. It's a frightening world when you hear of starving, when you hear of race riots, language riots, when you hear of wars and rumors of more of them, and at the same time, some of the predictions of our atomic age are almost mind-defying. It's beyond human comprehension. Can you imagine explosive force on hand today equivalent to 100 trillion pounds of TNT? You know how much that is? That's 28,000 pounds reserved just for you. And 28,000 for me, and for every little baby in Vietnam, India, the Philippines, Africa, Central and South America. That's 28,000 pounds of explosive force for every human being alive. That's how much is on hand today. Now, Professor Howard F. Huff, who is Professor of World Religion and Christian Missions at Phillips University in Enid, Oklahoma, and a former missionary to Japan, was talking about this and how the foods, medicines, books, and clothes put together do not amount to 28,000 pounds per person, or even a substantial fraction of it. But we've got enough explosive force to more than make up for all of the other things that human beings do not have. There's a think factory I talked about in the World Tomorrow program a couple of years ago, set up along the Hudson River in New York. It is a sort of a gathering of the intelligentsia of various branches of endeavor, men of different degrees who are doing nothing more than putting their minds to various solutions for the world's problems, trying to think a way out of our nuclear dilemma, trying to find some method by which military and government leaders could be given a yardstick or a guide that would lead to world peace. Now, recently, Dr. Herman Kahn, who was the American Clausewitz of the thermonuclear war, was saying that a doomsday machine capable of destroying all life on Earth could quickly be built for as little as $10 billion. This ultimate deterrent, straight out of a Dr. Strangelove novel, could wipe out all mankind at roughly a guinea. That's $2.94 a head. Now, isn't that fantastic? The idea they have is some great stockpile of hydrogen power buried deep beneath the surface of the Earth, which would be set up and attached to by computers which would have constant information fed into them involving world conditions, so that any certain series of world conditions might automatically trigger this device. And this is based on the idea that human governments would so fear the triggering of this mechanism that they simply would have the willpower to halt any such course of events before it could get started. Now, for example, its ultimate deterrent would be sort of a collection of devices buried around the Earth in strategic areas. Now, who's going to take charge of it? Who's going to bury them? Who's going to control it? And is it possible or capable of being sabotaged? That's something that wasn't in this article. But this Mr. Kahn was speaking at a seminar, the Hudson Institute, which is America's leading strategic studies and think factory, and taking part were representatives of the armed services, the aviation, aerospace, and electronics industries, and the State Department. Now, he said he would hook this thing up and program it to these computers in a certain way, or a variety of ways, so it would go off, say, automatically, if Russia invaded West Germany, or if they made a first strike against the United States. Then he mused how it could, though, be fitted with maybe a six-week override or a truth bargaining period, so that even though the machine was now clicking off an irrevocable countdown toward doomsday, where every human being would be blasted off the face of the Earth and the Earth itself be blasted apart, maybe men would get together and negotiate. Now, he himself was against building the machine, he said, but he admitted that he only knew of three American scientists whom he would not name, who would not only accept the doomsday proposition, but would be ready to go further with it. And they saw valid arguments, listen to this, for a galaxy-destroying machine. And you
you imagine that? A machine so big, explosive potential so great that it would not only destroy the Earth, but possibly start a chain reaction out into space to literally destroy the entirety of the galaxy on which we live. You know, when you take a resume of the nuclear age, and you look at what the mind of man is capable of, you think of what men are thinking and predicting about the future. It's not so reassuring. The present is so shocking, so frightening, so nearly terrifying that most of us simply refuse to think about it. And as a matter of fact, most of us are refusing to think about it so much that refusing to think about it and escapism, dulling our minds and blinding our eyes from reality, has become one of the really tremendous industries of today. One of the biggest single industries is escapism, of trying to block from our awareness the present because it's so shockingly frightening to us and we don't know what is ahead. Well, again, to take a little quick look at the nuclear age in which we live, this came from Washington, and it was told about plutonium's radioactive staying power and how it's incredible because the half-life, the time it takes plutonium to lose half its radioactivity, is 24,000 years. So they were talking about this fantastic property of plutonium, relating it to this grappling for a bomb deep beneath the surface of the Mediterranean. So it is unlikely that American and Spanish authorities, when you think about the tremendous span of time during which plutonium is radioactive and therefore potentially hazardous and dangerous to human beings and to livestock, contaminating the very waters of the sea or the ground itself, it's unlikely then that American and Spanish authorities will ever be able to erase all trace of the accident. Now, can you imagine an accident where instead of going to an historical site and seeing a rusting cannon or seeing the mast of an old vessel sticking above the surface of the sea. Well, you can go visit the site today, for example, in Pearl Harbor, where you can still see a part of the rusting hulk of some of the big American battleships sticking up above the water, where they have built a sort of a commemorative platform with a flag, very ultra-modern, to commemorate the lost lives. I guess some of those men are still beneath the sea there and inside that old hulk from that sneak attack by the Japanese forces in December of 1941. Now, all of that has been obliterated. The entirety of the war has been obliterated. And today, Americans and Japanese shake hands freely, and a tremendous amount of trade goes back and forth between the two. But can you imagine an accident in our modern nuclear dilemma, our age of atomic nerves, when an accident such as this one over there occurs? A caprice, a chance mid-air explosion or collision between two airplanes, and a bomb goes hurtling down into the sea and others sprinkled across the surface of the land, to where not in the next 24,000 years will all of the results of that be erased from the surface of the Earth. Fantastic age in which we live, isn't it? So long as it is necessary for America to maintain a nuclear bomber and missile force, there will be other incidents. Now, hopefully, none will result in an atomic explosion. At least none has yet. American officials can take heart in the fact that in the past, such weapons have burned. They've been dropped on concrete runways and involved in several aircraft crashes and railroad derailments. And all told, did you know the United States has admitted so far to 14 nuclear weapons accidents? 14 of them? How many has Russia had? We don't know. You're living in an age where buzzing over your head at any given moment of the day or night could be bombers carrying as many nuclear missiles as 5, 6 or more, depending upon the size and the type, in their bomb bays. Maybe they are, quote, not armed, end quote, which merely means that they have not been armed in the same way that a World War II bomb might be, of having an actual fuse set so that at certain altitudes, or if they were dropped, they would explode. But just how safe is that? How big of a guarantee is there? This is one thing in the Think Factory along the Hudson River that people are concerned with because they're wondering about the possibility of a nuclear war by accident. Now, we're told that there are plenty of safety factors, all built into it, all elaborate precautions and safeguards against some accidental atomic catastrophe. And maybe it's proving effective, at least so far. And yet, look at the political and the military repercussions of what has occurred over off the southern coast of Spain. Almost every major nation on the face of the earth is in the middle of the act today.
Now, in spite of all the comfort and the physics and engineering safety of nuclear weapons, no one can absolutely guarantee that one won't someday accidentally explode, whether it's labeled Made in America, Russia, Britain, France, or China. And now that we know, it won't be this year, or maybe next year. Now, that's just another little aspect of the frightening atomic and nuclear age in which you live. Now, taking a look at what is happening in France. France's missile program is apparently farther developed than anybody had suspected originally, and it was revealed recently that the first stage of a ballistic missile had been fired from a launching site in southwest France on February 15th of 1966. It had not previously been realized this base was anywhere near ready for use. The missile was tracked visually by DC-7 airplanes and by radar using a station which France now operates in the Azores by arrangement with the Portuguese government, and it was recovered downrange in the Atlantic. Now, that would seem to mean that the new hard site based in the Landes along the Atlantic coast south of Bordeaux is already operational. Now, can you imagine this? We know that France has the bomb. And here is France withdrawing from NATO, making a lot of noise in the world. People are beginning to wonder just exactly what is General de Gaulle doing. In the meantime, France apparently has the type of rockets that are capable of delivering atomic warheads half a world away. So the gap has been closing. Now, I've been talking on this program in recent months of the possibility of up to 10 major nations having atomic and hydrogen weapons and the means to deliver them in the next decade or so. And ultimately, say, some of the topmost authorities in the United States, 40 nations and more could have atomic and hydrogen bombs with the means to deliver them in the next very few decades. In your lifetime, in the lifetime of your children and mine, what kind of a world is that going to be? Oh, sure, it's frightening. Yes, it's shocking. It's staggering. We don't like to think about it. But somebody had better come up with some answers fairly soon, or else there isn't going to be a world to bother ourselves about in the next few decades. The mind of man is incredible, isn't it? When you get a little brief picture of what is happening in this nuclear age of ours, it is so frightening we simply prefer not to think about it. We really do. And when questioners ask passers-by on the street, what would you do in the event of an attack? Or what is your opinion about this or that aspect of the nuclear age? They will bustle on and prefer not to think about it. And so escapism is one of the biggest industries of this modern age of ours. Because we are so terrified and so frightened by the present, we simply want to blot it out of our minds. And there is coming in the next number of the Plain Truth magazine an article on escapism and the fantastic limits to which people will go, which really means no limit, to try to escape from reality. Now, in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine is a good bit more about reality, but also the outcome. And the only reason people want to escape is because they don't know where to look for any good news. They don't see any sense to it all, the true outcome. They don't see any real encouragement for the future. All they can hope is that possibly these men will come up with something so bizarre, so unthinkable, so unheard of, that maybe it will work after all. Well, is the way to peace building a gigantic doomsday machine that even military men of today are scared to talk about, and burying it deep beneath the earth, or maybe in strategic areas all over the earth, and programming it through a large, complex system of computers so that certain events triggered by politicians or military men would activate this thing, and that in 6 weeks, inexorably approaching like a countdown of a blast-off from a launching pad, would be the triggering of a device that would literally blast the earth out of orbit? You know, that sounds like causing the entirety of mankind to pay for the mistakes of a few, doesn't it? Questions that are so hard to answer youngsters oftentimes, like, Daddy, why don't the fellows who start the wars go fight them? And, well, why don't just the leaders of the nation, if they hate each other, get together and put on the boxing gloves and settle it all? These are the questions that oftentimes occur to people, and they ask these questions. They want to know, well, what causes wars? Why can't we get along? Why do we have to solve our differences, if it is ever solved, by going to war to prove that one nation is stronger than another? That's a very good question. And it all comes down to one very, very simple answer. And that answer is given in a source you wouldn't guess, and you probably have not read very much of and haven't paid much attention to. And that source is the Bible, that talks about human nature, that talks about the power struggles of today, our nuclear age, our frightening, terrifying present,
and furthermore even predicted the attitude of the average man in the light of this modern world. Our obsessive drive and desire to escape from the world and to blot it out of our minds, all of that was predicted in the Bible as well. You may not have realized that one-third of the Bible is prophecy, and that prophecy doesn't just speculate, but gives you accurate step-by-step series of events exactly as they will happen. And that your news headlines of today were predicted in the Bible centuries ago. You can't read of any other ancient book that predicted the possibility of the annihilation of humankind. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth talked about it, and he tells the real cause for today's problems of this nuclear madness of ours. Right in the most famous of all prophecies, the Olivet Prophecy in Matthew 24, he talked of the possibility of human annihilation. He said unless these days were cut short, unless some totally unprepared for an unexpected event came along to cut short the present trend in political and military activities that seems to be pushing this world toward the brink of nuclear insanity, unless that were halted and cut short, he said there wouldn't be a man, woman, or child left alive on the face of the earth. Now, you can't read any other ancient document, whether by Leonardo da Vinci or Galileo, or any other famous writer of yesteryear, that would tell you such a thing might occur. And yet here it is in Matthew 24 in your Bible, that unless those days would be cut short, there would no life be saved. But he went on to describe the entire program for cutting short those days, and for bringing about a final solution to man's ills. The reason people want to escape is because they don't know the cause of the problem and how to solve it. And the cause is simply human nature. It's in human nature to lust and to war, to hate, to be jealous, to be envious. It is in human nature to be filled with vanity. Now, we might say that the average person in Russia, the United States, and Great Britain, Germany, and Japan might get along by himself. But you put collections of us together, give us a flag, a separate nation, a separate national history, separate national heroes, separate educational systems, and it is a far different story. We seem to have our problems in getting along. Now, here we are, all right, trying to walk in space, trying to conquer the entirety of the universe, trying to get to the moon, and it seems like we have fantastic expenditures and almost unbelievable mechanical marvels by which to do this very thing, and yet we can't get along with a man next door, or across the street, or in the next town or village. We're trying to conquer the moon, and we haven't yet conquered ourselves. Well, it's no wonder most people are on a dizzying search for thrills, spills, chills, and pleasures, because today is so frightening and so shocking, we don't want to hear about it. We don't want to be concerned with it. We don't want anybody telling us about the problem, because we think it's not our problem, and maybe we'll just get ours while the getting is good and leave tomorrow to the next fellow. Well, it's about time you took a good, long, studied look at world conditions the way they really are, and ask why. How did it get this way? What really caused it? And is there any accurate, tangible prediction that is really good news for the future? Any way you can have any kind of confidence whatsoever for the future? Or are we destined to be blasted off the face of the earth after all? Now, the Plain Truth magazine deals with exactly that. It tells you the entire picture the way it really is, the accurate picture of the world the way it is today, but it tells you the outcome and the good news beyond. In this current number, for example, is an article about America's space program. Written from on the spot at Cape Kennedy, I saw Gemini 8 blast off. Pictures here of America's space program in action. One of the most beautiful color pictures, if you can call such a terrifying thing beautiful, of a rocket roaring off a launching pad that you've ever seen on the cover of this current number of the Plain Truth magazine. And I'm standing by in a full color picture inside the Agena space vehicle, the unmanned vehicle that is still orbiting around up there, and maybe they're going to dock with it again, you never know. And it's a very, very interesting issue. All the way through this issue are articles dealing with this precise moment of world conditions, whether it's in South America, Dr. Dorothy's article from there, or the gambling mania in Britain, the current poverty that grips the earth in not only India, Africa, Central and South America, but also increasingly in the so-called have nations, the affluent nations of the United States, Britain, South Africa, Australia, Northwestern Europe, of the anti-poverty programs inside our own borders. Here we are trying to destroy, do away with poverty inside the United States. Our most impoverished people live like millionaires alongside some of the starving millions of India, Central and South America, where thousands are dying every single day. And it also deals with that, with the famine and the drought of today. Now, in this current number, for example, the articles, the gambling mania that grips Britain that is becoming a worry of British officials today. Can you imagine it? More than half of the adult population are gamblers in Great Britain, and the Britons are now spending more money on gambling than for beer or automobiles. And Britons are famous beer drinkers. And yet there are more betting shops and bingo halls in Great Britain today than there are banks. You know, one of the great reasons why Rome fell was just gambling and public gaming. Apathy in the face of impending disaster, that's a sort of a funny quirk of human nature. That the bigger the problem, the more awesome it is, the more we want to play and to deny it because we simply can't admit it's true, and so we want to blot it out of our minds. And so today, a new national craze has been sweeping Great Britain. Bingo. You used to think of that as being done by the ladies' church supper and trying to raise enough money for the new wing on the parsonage or something. Not anymore. Today, it's a fantastic national craze in Great Britain. Here is a report from London, from on the spot, showing you why gambling has become a major social problem in Britain. But more than that, showing you this innate desire of human nature to escape reality and to play in the face of the biggest and the most serious problems in the history of the British nation. You can read in your history books of the proud men of iron and ships of wood who went down to sea in the time of Frobisher and Drake, who defeated the Spanish Armada, of the great might of British sea power of World War I and World War II, and of the entire history of this nation that has been known as the mistress of the seas, as the ruler of the sea gates and the shipping lanes, the strategic island outposts, the peninsulas, the areas of the earth that have held such a tremendous grip on world trade lanes, and therefore has succeeded successfully down through so many generations of completely dominating world shipping, having the mightiest navy that the world had ever seen. No more. It'll be a miracle in the next few years if Great Britain could defend the Thames estuary. It really will be. It's a fantastic age, isn't it? Complete backward, upside-down shifts in power struggles and politics around the world, where great nations of yesteryear are becoming third and fourth-class powers. Little nations little heard of in yesteryear are emerging to become the big giants of today. What is happening? Where is it leading? The Plain Truth magazine deals with exactly those questions and tells you what Bible prophecy says. Here's an article from On the Spot, written from Caracas, Venezuela, by Dr. Charles Dorothy, who is the head of the Spanish department at Ambassador College, and it's entitled Inside South America. He was right here at a press conference with Alfredo Stroessner, who is the president of Paraguay, and has a picture taken at the head table of that dinner, and you will read from his own on-the-spot report exactly what is happening inside South America. You'll be amazed to find that is also another area of super economic proportions, which is going to affect your life, linked up with Central Europe, believe it or not, because there is coming in Central Europe a uniting of 10 separate nations, which will make one great United States of Europe, and that is predicted in the Bible. And what is happening in Central and South America has a great deal to do with it. Also, here's an article from Indonesia on the communist plot that failed, written from our editor in the Australasian area, Mr. Wayne Cole, on the power struggle in Indonesia, showing you how Indonesian communists had been dreaming of empire themselves in full color, showing you what was happening there. A lot of people are wondering what on earth is going on in Indonesia with Sukarno and Suharto and the changing in power. This article explains it. Also an article written from London on the cause of poverty, showing you how 2 billion live at a bare subsistence level. And the hand-to-mouth existence of the peoples of India, Africa, and Latin America might be understandable, but why is it occurring today in Britain and the United States? Why a concerted anti-poverty program inside Wonderland, the United States, when we're supposed to have such affluency? There's a reason for poverty, a cause for it, and this article tells you exactly what is that cause. The Bible story for children in every number of the Plain Truth magazine, and in the short question from our readers, an explanation of an error. You know, we're human too, just like they said about the Volkswagen. What if the Volkswagen poops out in Paducah, you know, after all, it's only human? Well, that is even mentioned in this apology that we have run in this issue of the Plain Truth magazine. You want to read that one and find out what it's all about. And the Plain Truth is absolutely free. There is no charge for it. No subscription price to you whatsoever. Here's another article on baptism.
What does it mean to you?
You know, people have all kinds of methods of baptism. Most of you might have been baptized and then confirmed, and what is it, reinstated, resubstantiated, or what is it they do to you? Anyhow, something happens to you. When you're a little kid, you forget it, and you're not quite sure what it meant, but you know you were confirmed. I've heard of people who were confirmed believers or confirmed alcoholics. But a lot of people have been confirmed, which I guess means made a bona fide a member and have a card made out with their name on it or something like that. Is that what it is? I don't know for sure. In a church or something. Christened, that's the word. I've seen women christen ships. Many people have been christened. But what is the method for baptism? Should you be sprinkled? Should you be dabbed at with a damp sponge or a cloth? There was one fellow back some years ago that got a fire hose and sprayed a lot of believers as they leaped and cavorted around the streets. There are all kinds of methods. We see paintings or pictures. I was going through a Bible study with my son not long ago and talking about how Christ came up out of the water and so on, and just happened to mention that what was he doing wading around down there to his armpits in his water, and how it said that they were baptizing in a certain area in the Jordan, for, as the Bible says, there was much water there. And I explained how the Greek word baptizo means to immerse or to plunge into. Well, he's young enough, he didn't really know about all these other methods, he hadn't heard yet, except I think he had maybe seen a movie. I forget what the name of it was, one of these big Roman extravaganzas in Technicolor that had to do with at least partly, I guess, a biblical topic that I took him to let him see, and it showed a picture of Paul baptizing somebody, pouring water down the back of somebody's neck, off his head, out of a cup. And I think there was a famous painting by one of the medieval or maybe even before that time artists, real famous artists, showing a baptism in progress. And I think it was supposed to be the baptism of Christ. And here they are standing by this river. John the Baptist has gotten him a cup of water, and he's pouring it all over Christ's head. That's real interesting. But it isn't true. If you just take the Bible at face value, and I'm not saying that you've got to believe this because I say so, but I mean that if you look into the Bible and forget for a moment traditions and just what people do, what religionists have done, what people think they ought to do, and what others think that others do, and certainly those others must have gotten it out of the Bible. I mean, if you just take what the Bible says itself, all by itself, at face value, then the Bible does say that baptism was by complete immersion, plunged into water. Talked about how Christ came up out of the water, how they were baptizing in a certain area because there was much water there. And of course, the Greek word by itself means to plunge into. Well, this isn't only talking in this article about the method of water baptism, but it does talk about whether or not it means anything to you. Now, to give you a little bit of a glimpse ahead, it's picturing burial, death, burial, and resurrection. That's what it's literally picturing. And you've never yet seen a corpse stood against a tree and someone shoveling dirt in his face. You've seen them maybe in a very heartbreaking occasion, a funeral or something. You've seen corpses lowered beneath the surface of the earth. Yes, you have. And baptism is picturing the death and the burial of the old self, and then the resurrection to walk, as the Bible says, in newness of life. Now, that's all in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, and it is free of charge. And also this booklet on Who Will Rule Space, and the one on the Plain Truth about earthquakes, all having to do with the present age in which you live and showing you the good news beyond of the real confidence you can have in the future. These articles, I've gone through every last one of them in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, full color, graphically illustrated, free of charge, no price, if you send your letter to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure to tell us the call letters of your station. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.